Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So welcome to the Glory Hunters podcast. I'm here with Lindsay Hipgrave and Susie McCabe. Celtic v Newcastle. We haven't done the game yet. What are you expecting from it, Lindsay?
I mean, it's a blockbuster fixture, isn't it?
It's huge.
It really is. Well, just any points that Newcastle can get at the moment, yeah, I will be most welcome. So
I don't think this counts for the Premier League.
If only it did. If only it did.
And Susie, Celtic dropped down in recent weeks.
It's very early. Very early in the season. No panic.
How do you think you're going to get on Glory Hunters?
I think there's going to be passion. I think there's going to be some hard-hitting tackles.
Some hard-hitting tackles and passion. That's what you're here for. Let's find out now. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Our guests represent the team they've always supported in a contest where the winners go through to the next round while the losers are shown the door. But just who will be filled with dreams of success and who will be filled with regret? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. On today's show, team captain Bob Mills here again, a glutton for punishment, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any wins so far? I can't remember. Have you won any of the games so far?
I'm pretty sure I'm
every single time.
Two up.
That's why you
can't imagine that I've been beaten ever. But no, I came and did one of the early ones. Someone wasn't in, then someone else was off. I've become like the James Milner.
Very much.
Of this. Well, so and so's, he's our first choice, but he's not available. Let's get James Milner in.
Safe pair of hands.
Exactly.
Damning with faint praise, some would say, but not today, Bob. You are joined by broadcaster and Newcastle United fan, Lindsay Hipgrave. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello.
Welcome
Thanks
to Glory Hunters. Here to bring down Bob's 100% record.
Yeah, probably. I haven't seen Bob for ages, though, so I'm so glad I'm on his team.
Have you caught up yet? Have you had a little chit-chat?
We had a little chit-chat.
About Barrow, didn't we?
Yeah, we destroyed some reputations and then we moved on.
About Barrow. AFC Barrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I went there earlier this season to do a game. And in the same week, I went to Istanbul and it took me longer to get to Barrow than it did to Istanbul.
It's a long way, isn't it?
It is.
And was scarier when you arrived.
Yeah.
You have my dream job, by the way, Lindsay.
Covering
the National League. I'm a huge National League fan. Who's your favourite National League team? Say Torquay United, and you might get us a goal.
Do you know what? It's probably now Barrow after going all the way up there because of the dedication of the fans. Yeah, you see.
Well, welcome to Glory Hunters. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, a very good result last week for Newcastle United.
I know, but you know what? Nobody's surprised. No one's given us any credit because Man United aren't that bad now.
I know. It's awful, isn't it?
Could it be a jump-off point for Steve Bruce? We'd like to really get going now.
Well, something had to happen after the Leicester game, didn't it?
Yes.
So let's hope it's the start of a bit more positivity around the place. But we needed the points desperately.
Now, on last week's show, we had Anthony Costa and Kelly Summers, who was on the team with him, said she had pictures of Anthony on her wall while she was growing up.
Oh, really?
Which is nice, isn't it? Did you have pictures of Bob on your
not
wall growing
Bob.
Up?
No, I had E17 on
not,
my
not
wall.
Bob, no.
Not Bob, I'm afraid. No.
Hang on, E17?
Similar sort of area, isn't it, Bob?
Was I not in E17 for a while? Which one was I in? No, I think blue or one of the... 999, I think.
911.
999.
Alongside sports broadcasting superhero Natalie Sawyer, we've got our first Scottish team, which is exciting. Comedian, Celtic fan, the wonderful Susie McCabe. Hello, Susie.
Hello.
Welcome to Glory Hunters.
Thanks for having me.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
Not a great result for Celtic last week?
No, but it is only October.
Not scared of Rangers being top of the league?
No, they'll get a nosebleed. We play them in December at our place, and I think that'll be your day.
You'll get it back then.
Oh, easy peasy.
When did your love of Celtic FC start, Susie?
From probably the minute I was born. I've got an older brother, So between him, my dad and my grandparents, and I grew up, I could see the stadium from where I grew up and all that. So, you know, I was brought up in the East End and you're very much aware of Celtic.
No choice.
No, not in Glasgow. No. You don't get a choice. People have, you know, you'd get put up for adoption if you didn't choose the right team. So,
and how long have you been a comedian?
In 8.5 years.
Because we did a gig last and you absolutely killed it. And I went, you are amazing. You are one of the funniest people I've seen in a long time. and you just had a great Edinburgh Festival, didn't you?
I had a great festival. Do you know, I had done the festival twice before then and it was all fine. And then to go up and have a good festival, now you're going, oh, I need to have one of them every year. So now the pressure's back on. But yeah, it's great.
Did you have pictures of Natalie Sawyer on your wall? Growing up, Susie?
No, but I had pictures of Bob Mills.
Yes,
and,
yes,
you know, Bob.
That explains a lot.
Explains an awful lot. Right, well, there we are. There's our teams. The scene is set for an absolute cracker. Celtic v Newcastle, a fixture that's got Europa Cup tie written all over it. That's when Newcastle used to qualify for Europe. Yeah. That is, yeah.
Intertoto.
Intertoto Cup, exactly. So, we start with this clip of Tom Hanks talking about why he supports Aston Villa.
Oh no, I just love the name Aston Villa. I just think it's fantastic. Here in England, with other football entities called Manchester United, and Arsenal, and Chelsea, is Aston Villa. So what suburb of Rome is Aston Villa from? I just love the name.
Tom Hanks has obviously never been to Aston. Anyway, in total, how many Americans have played in the Premier League since its start? Bob Mills. Lindsay Hipgrave, we will start with you. It is as near as the pin situation. Tell us your
Yanks. We're not getting any options. We're not getting
no options at all, no. It's oh, nearest the pin. It's just to find out who starts.
No good trying
I can
to
only
work
think
out.
Of three.
No. Brian McClair.
Four.
Brian McClair.
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard.
Clint Dempsey.
Brian
Dempsey.
McClair.
I was going to say Brian McClair.
Brian McClair. Anyway, what? Carry on, it's fine.
Chris Brian McClair, not American?
I don't think so.
Who am I thinking of?
I think, Scott, I think he's from Glasgow, isn't
You're
he? Brian McClair.
Brian McBride.
Brian McBride, yeah.
Tim Howard.
Yeah, but these are the ones we remember. Yeah. There'll be loads of Roy Weggley types. and the guy, who was the guy who had the really good World Cup and then he came for a season.
Gonna push you for an answer.
I think it's much higher than we think. I want to say 15.
I want to say 15 in total. How many
Americans?
Hold on. Okay, carry on.
What do you
I would
think?
Have said about 12. So
12.
You're going to go for 12?
Go
in total,
12.
How many Americans have played in the Premier League since its start? Lindsay and Bob have gone for 12. Natalie and Susie.
Oh, well, we've listed a few, but I think there's a lot we're missing as well.
Yeah.
So they've gone for 12. Do we want to go higher or lower than 12?
Higher. Will we go for 15?
We'll go for... Oh, well, why don't we?
No.
Why don't we?
You can just go higher. Let's you just could go higher. For 13 or one below, whichever way you think that's how nearest the pin works.
What do you think?
Go for it. You go
for it,
Captain.
We're going to go higher then. We'll go...
Higher.
13.
You're going to go for 13. The answer is unbelievably 45.
Yeah.
You got miles off. An extra goal if you can name them all. No, okay. What a shame. That means, Celtic, you have control of the board and the chance to get a two-goal lead with player cards right. All you have to do is predict higher or lower depending upon the category I select from this set of top trumps. You lose control of the board, the opposition can steal the goals. Understand what we're doing? Of course
Absolutely.
You do. Here we go. First card is Gianluigi Buffon, the goalkeeper, Italian goalkeeper, and he has 154 caps. Do you think our next player, Mats Hummels, has higher or lower caps? Higher or lower caps? 145 caps for Buffon.
I think nobody edged him out.
Yeah, I think he's had more. I'd say Hummels is less.
I can't think
Germany.
Of another keeper for Italy.
No.
There's more chance of... Yeah.
We're going to go lower.
You're going to go lower. Lower caps. Matt Hummels has 44 caps. Oh, you were right to go lower. Here we go. The next one is goals. Matt Hummels has scored 4 goals for Germany. Robert Lewandowski. Robert Lewandowski.
Oh, for the love of God.
Goals.
Higher or lower? Robert
Lewandowski scored more against Scotland.
I think one game against Scotland.
So I'm assuming you're going higher.
We'll go higher.
Higher.
Yeah, you were right to go higher. You were right to go higher. He has 34 goals for Poland. Okay, trophies. 6 trophies, Robert Lewandowski. Then it is Sergio Ramos. Ramos. Higher or lower on the trophies?
Way more, Ramos.
Way more.
You're correct to go higher. He has 12 trophies. And our final one is Nani. We're going to say caps We go Sergio Ramos with 130 caps. Nani, higher or lower? Get it wrong, the other team can steal.
I still think Ramos will probably have more, but I don't know.
Bob's raising his eyebrows here. Going to push you for an answer. Higher or lower?
In and out of form, maybe.
Yeah. Ramos, 130.
I think we're going to go that Ramos has more, less for Nani.
So you're saying Nani is lower.
Oh, okay.
92 caps for Nani. You have stolen the board. Congratulations. A two-goal head start. Fantastic. For Celtic, you are 2-0 up. So, still to come, both teams will try and convince me that they are the biggest club here today. And the Bard of Bristol, Ian Holloway, shares some more of his favourite quotes from the world of football.
If you close your eyes, you couldn't tell the difference between the two sides. Well, the truth is, you wouldn't be able to see them either, would you? Come on, that's just absolutely garbage.
You are listening to Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where Bob Mills and Lindsay Hipgrave are representing Newcastle United, while Natalie Sawyer and Susie McCabe are on the Celtic team sheet. Right now, it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
Now, Lindsay, as Newcastle United, you're going to go first with this. You did have a slight problem with the last round, the top trumps round. You seem to not enjoy it at all.
It was too easy.
When the question came up, who scored more international goals, Robert Lewandowski or Billy Bond? I thought that was a bit... Seriously, I didn't think they were being tested, really.
You didn't think it was much of a test.
Or has Ramos got more caps than Nani? Yeah. I mean, we had no chance.
Depends who's Nani, doesn't it? Right, anyway, so this isn't about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Lindsay Hipgrave, your time starts now.
Well, we've got one of the best grounds in Europe, literally. It is in the heart of the city, St James's Park. It's the focal point for everyone. And we're a one-club city, which is definitely points on the board, definitely. Nothing beats the passion of the Toon Army. I think we can safely say that. We were getting absolutely thumped by Leicester 2 weeks ago. 5-0, down to 10 men. It was lashing down with rain and the fans did not stop singing, supporting the team. So I just don't think you can beat the Newcastle fans wherever you go. We've got the iconic black and white stripes, better than a bit of green and a few hoops, I'm afraid. There's a picture actually recently of Matty Longstaff in the paper wearing a Celtic shirt because he's got an uncle who played for them, and he knows which the bigger club is now. Look at what shirt he's wearing now, which badge he's kissing, he knows. The Waddler beats any Celtic haircut that there's ever been, definitely. Sting, Ant Dec, Jimmy Nail, Brian Johnson, all Newcastle fans. We're signing our players off YouTube. And you can talk about trophies, but we keep our spare balls in the trophy cabinet to keep them a total cup company, so.
Well, I tell you what, Lindsay, you did it fantastic. It was good, wasn't it? I love the stuff about the Longstaff brothers. I love that the local boys playing for their team. Chris Waddle played for Torquay United. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't know that.
No, that was good, wasn't it?
My brother actually did have a Waddler. My mum took him into the barbers and asked the barber to give him a Waddler.
Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful. Your one club city, is that a bonus? Is it? Just means no one else got anywhere to go.
It just means you get more passion.
It's like, you know, when you get those cash points in the middle of nowhere and then they charge you to use them. It's like that Newcastle United, isn't it? They can't, you've got nowhere else to go. Whatever you do to the fans, they'll still turn up. Oh, you can come this week.
No, you are going to get
a punch in the face if you come.
You've still got Gateshead, if you really want.
If I may, if you're born in Glasgow, your family association might be such that you have to be a Celtic fan or you have to be a Rangers fan. However, in the back of your mind, you've always got that nagging doubt. Just imagine if I'd been born in that street.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what that'd be like supporting it. They don't have any of that.
No doubt in Newcastle.
There's no mental pollution.
No doubt in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And you did mention Sting. And I don't know if you know Sting once did a lute album, an album just of lute songs.
Really?
So I took a goal off for that as well. So I'm going to give you 7 goals, Lindsay. Crossing over to you, Susie McCabe, born and bred a Celtic fan. Please tell us why Celtic are a bigger club than Newcastle United.
Celtic were founded in 1887, played their first game in 1888, founded by a Marist brother, Brother Wilfred, and he set up the club to raise money to alleviate poverty for the local Irish migrant population. And he had to get a name for this football club, and he took the name Celtic and made it Celtic, and it represented merging Scotland and Ireland together. And the club's greatest hour came on the 25th of May 1967 at the Estadio Nacional in Lisbon, when 11 men from a 40-mile radius of Glasgow beat Inter Milan, Italy's finest, playing the Catanaccio, and they played it by playing pure, beautiful, inventive football. Celtic is not from a one-team city. We have four professional clubs, but it's more than a club and it's more than a football team. It is a focal point and identity for the subjugated and the oppressed, and that is why we are Celtic Football Club.
Wow.
Passionate.
Playing the poverty card.
It's a different sort of north-south divide, isn't it?
It really was. Yes. I mean, this Glasgow, I think that's what Lindsay's so annoyed about. She can't pull the northern card out the bag. It's a real problem here.
Well, if they were really a bigger club, we wouldn't have built the wall to keep them out, would we?
You've had your go. Come
independence, we will.
The wall will come
back.
We
will take Newcastle. We will take it. You're Scotland's lost city.
It was like a history lesson, an interesting one.
It's true.
Rolled into one. All I will question is, so they were formed 1887 and had their first game in 1888. What were they doing for that first year? Just running around.
They were trying to get players.
A football club. What should we be doing?
Yeah.
Let's have a match.
So see, for the first game was a friendly against Rangers and they won 5-2. But they had to borrow players because there was an Edinburgh team and that was Hibs. And Celtic were nearly called Glasgow Hibernian. And they went, no, let's get something that kind of merges the two. So Hibs gave them a loan of four players to play in the friendly game.
I'm not only being entertained, I'm learning. Also, the 1967 Lisbon Lions, I didn't realise they were from a 40-mile radius of Glasgow. That's amazing.
The only reason it's 40 miles is because Bobby Lennox stayed in Saltcoats on the Ayrshire coast.
Seven of them were born within...
5 miles.
Walking distance. They still walk to the ground to watch it.
Yep. Even Bob now chipping in, making this argument. Lindsay's furious.
Bob? No, I know.
What's going on?
That is the one thing that will never happen again. No football team will ever win a major trophy with 11 players.
So there we are. I enjoyed it and I learnt something. I'm going to give you 10 goals. There we are, 10 out of 10. Now, anyone familiar with the punditry of Ian Holloway will know that he paints pictures with words. But whilst Ian's work shares the same clarity of a Monet or a Turner, others in his profession take a more surrealist route. So here's our very own verbal Van Gogh with a selection of quotes from the Picassos of punditry. All our panel have to do is tell me who said them originally. So losing side goes first. Lindsay and Bob, please listen to this and tell me who said it.
If you eat caviar every day, it's difficult to return to sausages.
There we are. If you eat caviar every day, it's difficult to return to sausages. Was it A, Arsene Wenger, B, Neil Warnock, or C, Ian Holloway?
Arsene Wenger would have mentioned caviar. As many would have mentioned caviar. You eat caviar every day.
Difficult
to eat. But also it sounds a bit rude about whatever.
He might have been talking about like his Invincibles defence to the one he ended up with.
Neil Warnock.
Could Neil Warnock say it about dropping out the Premier League?
Yeah, maybe. You see, it's a difficult one to contextualise, isn't it? I'd go for, just because it says caviar,
I'd agree.
Go for Arsene.
Yeah,
this is the sort of thing Arsene Wenger? The answer is Arsene Wenger. Congratulations.
Wow.
Okay, Natalie and Susie, here we go. Who said this originally?
If you close your eyes, you couldn't tell the difference between the two sides.
If you close your eyes, you couldn't tell the difference between the two sides. Was it A, Lee Dixon, B, Harry Redknapp, C, Phil Brown? Lee Dixon, Harry Redknapp, or C, Phil Brown?
You can imagine all three would have said that at some point. That's the problem. They're so similar. You were thinking Phil Brown. You said that first.
I don't think Redknapp would say it.
I think all three could say it, but let's go Phil Brown.
Phil Brown.
Going to go with Phil Brown. The answer is Phil Brown.
There we are.
Okay. Lindsay and Bob, back to you. Let's hear this one.
We must have had 99% of the match. It was the other 3% that cost us.
Lovely one. Is it A, Ronald Koeman, B, Ruud Gullit, or C, Robin van Persie? A, Ronald Koeman, B, Ruud Gullit, or Robin van Persie?
Ruud Gullit when he was at Newcastle.
Probably, yeah.
Ruud Gullit. It was Ruud Gullit. Very good, 100% so far. Here we go. Question four, quote four, here it comes.
Without being too harsh on David Beckham, he cost us the match.
Without being too harsh on David Beckham, he cost us the match. Who said that? Was it Paul Merson, Lee Dixon or Ian Wright? Wright. Paul Merton, Lee Dixon, Ian Wright.
I don't know. For some reason, I was leaning towards Lee Dixon, but I have no idea why.
Could be a total Merson thing, though, couldn't it? It's a very, isn't it? It's like, yeah. We'll go for Merson.
I can picture him saying something like that. It might not have been, but we'll go Paul Merson.
You go for Paul Merson. The answer is Ian Wright. Ian Wright said it. What a shame. So, the scores at the end of that round are Celtic 13, Newcastle 9. Now, next up, something not for the faint-hearted as we enter the round known as Sporting Heretics, a round that will feature opinions such as no one should have a second team and the lower leagues should be regionalised. Find out who's responsible for such sporting blasphemy next on TalkSport. You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Remember to subscribe because you wouldn't want to miss out on this magic, would you? This is Glory Hunters on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where today it's an Anglo-Scottish affair, much like Bannockburn and Culloden, although we do expect a lot less casualties. Or more, who knows? Susie McCabe is here. The score is currently 13-9 to Celtic. Comedians Susie McCabe and Natalie Sawyer are flying the flag for Celtic, while Lindsay Hipgrave and Bob Mills are attempting to avert any fog on the Tyne. At this point, I want you all to risk the wrath of all decent thinking people in the round that we know as Sporting Heretics. Yeah, Sporting Heretics. In this round, I'm going to invite each of our panel to deliver a piece of pure sporting blasphemy, the kind of thing that would see you banished from polite society and probably impolite society as well. However, you are free to express your thoughts within this safe space, however disagreeable they may be. In fact, the more shocked and disgusted I am, the more you will score. Okay, here we go. Bob, could you please tell us why the lower leagues should be regionalised?
Well, there is a belief in football that everything old is rubbish and everything new is brilliant. We must always move forward. That's why we have VAR. We have VAR because we no longer believe we should trust referees or lines people and things like that. I believe there are some things from the past that we changed in error, and we shouldn't have changed them. And when you look now at just some random fixes, Barrow against Torquay, Exeter against Carlisle, Fleetwood against Portland, things like this, football fans in straitened times are having to make the most ridiculous choices about which matches they can go to and which matches they simply can't. This was never a problem when I was growing up because I grew up in the age of Third Division North and Third Division South. So where I grew up in the North, we had 7 or 8 derbies a year regularly because teams very rarely moved up from those sort of divisions. They do it in the early rounds of the cup competitions, in the AFL Cup. They do it in the early rounds of that. They regionalise it. It doesn't mean that you're getting easier games. It just means you're getting games that don't take 10 hours travel. A football match on a Saturday, by the way, should kick off at 3 o'clock, but that boat has long left the harbour. But they shouldn't take you all day. They should take you 2 hours before the game and 2 hours after the game. You should never have to leave home at 6:30 and arrive home at 1:30 the following morning because society has changed and it is no longer the dad going off to football. The family goes to football. My daughter goes to football. And you cannot make those commitments to your entire day. It's just, it's no longer feasible. And it's an easy thing to sort out.
Well, it was a great argument. I'm stuck between two stools here because I agree with you and I disagree with you. I agree with you, the smaller clubs, that they should be able to save their money and
well,
to be able
to play
football.
Well, the smaller clubs save the money, but it doesn't get. Listen, you're only talking about cutting the country in half.
Yeah.
Okay. You're still going to play teams from all over the country, but they're going to be a maximum of 3 hours away.
Okay. So Torquay have been in a regionalised league and they've been in the National League South, and we played Eastbourne, which is about as far away from Torquay as you could possibly get. So where do you draw the line? Do you draw it east to west or north to south?
Listen, I would never argue with you because you're a local, because and I would never have a geography discussion with you, but trust me, Eastbourne is not as far away as you can get from Torquay. I would hazard Barrow is slightly further.
I bet it's easier to get to Barrow from Torquay than it is to get to Eastbourne.
That's the whole problem with the transport system.
So that's one thing I disagree with. You did say the words Exeter City, which annoyed me even more. That really wound me up, so I was very annoyed about that. And also, there's nothing better than an away day. Then a lovely drive up, little stop somewhere for lunch on the way, for a pasty on the way, and then you drive up and you get there and you're in some northern town you've never been to in your whole life, and you turn up and you beat them 1-0 in the last minute. There's nothing better than that. So I disagreed with that as well. So you get loads of points. I'm going to give you 8 goals. Susie McCabe, ex-pros should be refs.
Yeah, 100%. Referees are not up to the job. They don't understand the game. It's a bit like if you are a tradie on site, right, and you're an electrician, and the guy has just went through university but never fitted a socket in his life. How does he possibly help you get round your problem or deal with that situation? They don't know. They talk to players appallingly. It needs to be ex-players for the respect in the game. Imagine Roy Keane coming up to you and saying, "You were a bit high in that challenge." I mean, imagine the respect that players would have for a Roy Keane, a Vinnie Jones, a Ruddock. Have ex-players as referees, and players will respect those referees, and referees understand the game and they understand the context of the tackle and what's happened at that particular moment. Not just some wee Jobsworth referee with his wee whistle and his wee headset and his wee can of spray paint. Just, he should be at the Garden Centre and let the professionals deal with the professional sport with two fans running the lines. like a kids' football game, just like some dads running the lines for their flags.
There we are. Well, I agree with you and I disagree with you, Susie, on many different points. What are the geeks and the nerds going to do if they can't be refs?
Play chess.
You know, they want to be involved in sport, and this is their place for it.
That's what a golf club's for.
I don't think so.
Nice.
I think we need these people. What they're going to do, just join the St. John Ambulance. I mean, it's just it's shame for them, isn't it? If Roy King's never going to turn up week in, week out and be a...
But how good would
no
it be?
No respect at all.
If Roy Keane, if you've made a bad pass and Roy Keane turns around and goes, "You are terrible."
Yeah.
You've got to take a goal up there because it's not spray paint, it's foam.
It's foam, I'm going to take one goal. I did like, unfortunately for you, I did like the idea of having the players' dads run in the line. I think that would be a very good thing to do. I'm going to give you 5. Sorry, go on, Lindsay.
We pay the players too much for them to ever start reffing when they retire.
That
too
was
rich.
This was the other point. Not the lower leagues, obviously. The lower leagues, they don't get paid enough. You could get those.
Well, what
up
you
there
could
as
do is every time that they got fined by their club or the FA, you could make them pay it back in refereeing hours once they retire.
Yeah. Oh, you've got an answer for everything.
Honestly,
it's like refereeing community service.
Yeah, because this is
a good idea. This is a good idea. But I'm going to give you 5 goals, Susie, because I agreed with quite a lot of your points. Natalie, the FA Cup should be winner stays on.
Yeah, doesn't that sound like more fun? So, you know, whoever wins the FA Cup, they're in the final until someone can beat them at Wembley. So it is winner stays on. It will restore the prestige of the FA Cup final because people will be desperate to see the holders knocked out. And it really will perhaps bring a wider appeal to the FA Cup as well, because we'll all be backing the team that gets to the final because we want them to knock out the team that may have been there for years and years and years. As much as it pains me to say it, the FA Cup final perhaps doesn't have the appeal like it used to. So this is a change that we need. It might be radical, but why not? Why not change it and mix things up a little bit? Cricket has changed. It's introduced this fast-paced competition to appeal to the masses. Football has to do the same and restore the heroic status of the FA Cup. So winner stays on.
Winner stays on. I can't see how it would work.
Well, hang on.
Quite easy.
That was originally what the FA Cup was.
Was it?
It's called the FA Challenge Cup.
All right.
Because the first team that won it then issued a challenge to the rest of the team in the FA.
Can you take this off us?
Yeah, you have to take it off us. Yep. So the team that won it in 1887, I think it was Old Etonians, played in the final next year. And the rest of the team just played to get to the final to play them. That went on for about 6 years, I think, until Wanderers won it. And Wanderers then said, no, we should we don't agree with just coming back for the final. We should just.
So it didn't work. So
Wonders ruined it for everyone.
Your point, Natalie, has
been
tried out.
And it failed.
It failed.
But that was back in the day.
Well, you're
Come
saying
on,
old-fashioned
we've moved
football
on.
Doesn't count, which I don't agree with. So I'm going to give you five goals, Natalie.
Okay,
five goals again.
You
just sat in the middle there. Okay, and finally we go to Lindsay Hipgrave. No one should have a second team.
No, ban it. Outlaw it. This is something that I've really noticed since I've been living in the South. The amount of people who have two teams. They've got a Premier League team and they've got an EFL team or a National League team. Probably one that they've started supporting for a bit of glory when their other team was struggling. Or they've started supporting a little team, I guess, that they think poses absolutely no threat to their big team. And I just find it really patronising and belittling the idea you've got this little club. Like, you wouldn't have Man United fans with Man City as their second team. So don't have Brighton and then have
Eastbourne.
Exactly. It's not being a true supporter, I don't think. True support is just following one team religiously and that's it. And it works fine, I guess, in a way when they're really far apart in the Football League. But there's a lot of Brighton fans that I know who have another Premier League team, which stems from when Brighton were really struggling. And obviously Brighton have now come good and risen from the ashes. And then it's like, well, what do you do when Brighton are now playing your other team, like Arsenal or Tottenham? Who do you support? Mm. It's ridiculous. You've put yourself in that situation. I don't think I should have two husbands. Well, so why would I have two football teams? You can't love both, not properly. I wish I did support another team at times. It might cheer me up.
I thought you were going to say, I wish I had two husbands, then.
I have had times as well.
We all wish we could have a team to cheer us up now and again, but it isn't the point.
No.
And unfortunately for you, Lindsay, I agree with absolutely everything you've said, which in this round
it's not the
completely
point of the game.
Against with you. I don't think anyone should have two teams. I don't think anyone should support a team that is outside of where they lived. I think you should have to support the team that you were born closest to. In fact, the other day, I said to someone, I was in Newton Abbott, right, where I'm from, Newton Abbott, and it has a team in quite a low local league, right, not even a bit, they have Newton Abbott Spurs, okay, and I was speaking to someone, and he went, here, I heard you on the radio saying that you support Torquay United, which is 5 miles away, which is the nearest team to where I was born, and I went, yeah, and he went, thought you were from Newton, and it was... thought you were from Newton Abbott. I said, oh, God. So he expected me to support Newton Spurs. I'm not going to do that. But I think you should have to support your local league or non-league team.
I believe it's the one thing that unites all football teams is a hatred of that. Just very quickly, if you tell someone that when you were young you got married and you maybe had a kid, but it didn't work out and you very amicably split up and you moved on and you now have another family and you love them, and you've got kids there, people will accept that.
Yeah.
We all know people whose lives that is, and we all accept. But if you say, yeah, I used to be a season ticket one, but I support this other team now, well, then you're scum. And you should be sensitive.
See, last season, I was gigging, and I was talking to Man U fans who were saying to me that they were standing in the pub cheering on City because they didn't want Liverpool to win the league.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
And I was like, so that is like me cheering on Rangers to stop Aberdeen. Yeah. I could not get my head around it. You know, I was just like, no, I don't know. And they were like, no. But they were saying that their Man City mates were getting really annoyed because Man U fans were cheering on Man City.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't understand any of that. Because your derby, like your team... Like, that's two teams in the one city.
Your team's your team.
That's your derby and your team's your team.
That should never happen.
Exactly, yeah. Totally.
Even if you don't want Liverpool to win the league, that's fair enough, but just don't cheer them on. Just keep your mouth shut.
So, anyway, we've all agreed on that, Lindsay, which is completely the opposite of the round. But because we did all agree and we all enjoyed it so much, I'm going to give you one goal.
One.
I can only apologise. So, at the end of that round, the scores are Celtic 23, Newcastle 18. Still to come, we travel back in time to a momentous moment in each club's history. A time when London swung and Zidane took a swing.
Forget the red mist, it's a red card! Zinedine Zidane sent off! He ends his professional career by headbutting an opponent and walking in the World Cup final!
That's all to come on Glory Hunters on TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Glory Hunters here on TalkSport with me, Charlie Baker, where today's game sees Newcastle United in the shape of Bob Mills and Lindsay Hipgrave take on Celtic, represented by Natalie Sawyer and Susie McCabe. I don't know if you heard the cup draw. It's the fourth qualifying round of the cup. Talk United are in it. So I had a vested interest. We got Boreham Wood at home. Very disappointing. But anyway, the draw was on TalkSport 2 and it took place in the foyer of the canteen of TalkSport. It's exciting, wasn't it? John Motson there. Oh, yeah, sure. Gray's Athletic. And in the background, there's someone going, oh, bacon sandwich, please, mate. Cup of tea. Cup of tea. I love it. I love a draw. Do you, Susie? Do you love
a
draw?
I love a draw.
Yeah. Anything you want to bring up about?
My favourite cup draw of all time. Is from one of the most famous Celtic supporters in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Is, of course, Mr. Rod Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
What a cup draw. I remember watching that live in the house and literally rewinding it and watching it for about 20 minutes. Just constant. Just the drunkest man in the stadium that day doing the cup draw. And the funniest bit is the little SFA official who is absolutely mortified and fuming at the same time while Rod's like, ta ta ra ta ta.
He should do every draw.
Every cup draw ever. We should do.
Yes, time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both clubs' history. Now, Bob and Lindsay, some may think that silverware has been a bit thin on the ground for Newcastle. Some may think that, but that couldn't be further from the truth as we go back to 2006, when Newcastle United lifted their first trophy for 37 years, the Intertoto Cup. Now, I think we all remember where we were when Newcastle won European football's biggest consolation prize. But what else do you remember of that year? Here we go, 2006. Lindsay and Bob, Italy won the World Cup in Germany that year, but the final against France was marred by this.
There's an incident off the ball and Zidane is standing there and there's an Italian player down injured and play's going to go on. We're seeing a replay now and Zidane has headbutted Marco Materazzi in the chest, off the ball. Forget the red mist, it's a red card. Zinedine Zidane sent off. He ends his professional career by headbutting an opponent and walking in the World Cup final.
That's a great bit of commentary. Forget the red mist, here's the red card. Excellent. Zidane's headbutt on Materazzi saw him sent off in his final game. But what did the Italian say to provoke such a response? Was it A, did he make a barbed comment about premature hair loss? Was it B, did he say something off-colour about a member of Zidane's family? Or C, did he dare him to do something memorable for his last game?
He slagged off his mother.
It was his mother or his sister? Yeah, certainly, yeah. It was a female member of his family.
His Materazzi. No, okay, you think it was B? Did he say something off-colour about a member of his... It was, he did say that. Okay, question two. Prior to Newcastle favourite Michael Owen travelling to the World Cup with England, sponsors Northern Rock, rest in peace, took out a series of ads asking if he could be returned in one piece. Unfortunately, he wasn't. He came back injured after damaging his cruciate ligament in the first game against Sweden. But how long was he out for? How long was Michael Owen out for? Was it A, 8 months, B, 10 months, C, 12 months. How long was Michael Owen out for in 2006? 8 months, 10 months, 12 months.
Long Chris Yates, I'm going to say 10 or 12.
Yeah, 10 or 12. It pretty much finished him off.
12,
should
we say?
Yeah, I'd say 12. Go on, yeah.
12 months.
The answer is 10 months. Bad luck. Sorry. Here we are. Question three. 2006 saw the retirement of Alan Shearer, Dennis Bergkamp and Roy Keane. But perhaps the biggest departure from the public stage that year was when the Bee pulled the plug on Top of the Pops. But who were the last act to play on Top of the Pops? Good question, isn't it? This is
yes.
The best question we've had in 10 episodes. Here we go. A, Snow Patrol. If I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? B, The Fratellis. Good year for music, wasn't it? Or was it C, Girls Aloud?
Here's the thing, if we need to work this out, because Top of the Pops finished, the last song is whatever's number one. So need to find out
Girls Aloud would have been number one.
The Fratellis wouldn't have been number one. No. Snow Patrol, I don't know if that got to number one. It was in the charts for a long time and it sold a lot of copies.
Yeah, probably not number one. I bet it was Love Machine.
So just because I think they were the most likely to have been number one, we're going to go with that Love Machine.
Let's find out. Yes, you were correct. It was Girls Aloud. So in that round, you scored 2 goals, which takes you to 20 goals. Well done. Natalie and Susie, we're going back to the summer of 1967. I've got my first real six-string. No. That's summer of 69, wasn't it? And this.
Barely 7 minutes from time came the winning goal. Chalmers deflected Murdoch's shot past Sati. That was how Celtic became the first ever British team to win the European Cup.
There we are. It's the year Celtic became the first British side to win the European Cup. But what else can you recall of that landmark year? Natalie, you must be what, 10, 12?
Yeah,
10,
something like that, yes. Yeah.
Good. Teenage years.
Ago. Formative years.
Yeah, when you were going to see the Beatles live every Saturday.
And certainly was.
Here we go. Question one. The side that lifted the trophy became known as the Lisbon Lions, led by captain Billy McNeil, who was nicknamed Caesar by the rest of the team. But why? Was it A, he liked to wear a laurel wreath on the way to training? B, he wanted to rename Parkhead the Coliseum? C, he was named after the getaway driver in the original Ocean's 11, as he was the only member of the side that owned a car.
I would love to think it was the wreath around his head, but we're going for C.
And we are. What was it? It was C. He was the only member of the team that owned a car. Imagine that now.
He used to have to pick them up on the week, because they all kind of stayed out in View Park in the kind of eastern kind of outskirts of Glasgow, and he used to pick up like Johnston and Auld and bring them in. They kind of came from the one area.
Bring one to training. If only he knew something about this era of Celtics, Susie. Question two. Which of these players were not born in 1967? Paul Gascoigne, Paul Ince or Alan Shearer? Which of these players were not born in 1967? Paul Gascoigne, Paul Ince, the governor, the self-styled governor, or Alan Shearer?
So Gascoigne played for Rangers 98 and he was about 30. So I think he would have been 68. Actually, something tells me he may have been born in 66, because you know it's the old England World Cup thing, isn't it?
Going to push you for an answer. Which of these players was not born in 1967?
I feel like he was born in 67.
Paul Gascoigne, Paul Ince, or Alan Shearer?
Ince. Do you know he was the one I was thinking of the three?
Go with Ince.
We're going to go Paul Ince.
Paul, the self-styled governor, Ince. It is Alan Shearer.
Oh.
He was born in 1970. Okay, question three. Celtic were crowned European champions during the Summer of Love. So while England swung and half of Glasgow celebrated, what was the number one single that the nation grooved to? Was it?
I wonder if one day that you say that you care. If you say you love me madly, I'd gladly be there. Like a puppet on a string.
Was it Sandy Shaw, Puppet on a String? Or was it B, The Tremolos?
Silence is golden. Ooh,
Tom Jones.
Yes, they'll all come to meet me, arms reaching, smiling sweetly. It's good to touch the green, green grass of home.
Which one was it? Puppet on a string, silence is golden, the green, green grass of home.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. The whole green connotation.
Is that why you like that one then? Is that
no,
what
I think we go still for Sandy Shaw, because if that had been number one, you would have thought green, Celtic.
Okay. Oh, that's
all
true.
Right.
Lovely
all
bit
right.
of working out.
It became a club.
What's your answer?
Sandy Shaw, she didn't wear shoes, did she?
She didn't wear shoes.
She didn't, no.
So we'll go with the barefooted Sandy Shaw.
She's got no strings. The answer is...
Silence!
The tremolos. And at the end of that round, the scores are Celtic 24, Newcastle 20. Here on Glory Hunters, we believe it shouldn't be just me asking the questions, it should be you as well, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face the scrutiny of the general public and have absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Yes, can we have our first question, please?
Hello. I'd like to ask the panel, after chess boxing, what do they think would make a great hybrid sport?
After chess boxing, what do they think would make a great hybrid sport? Natalie Sawyer.
So many mixes you could bring to the party.
Unlimited.
Indeed. But I've gone for chucking the pole vaulter.
Oh.
Yes. So it is going to be bringing the principles of tossing the caber into this. But rather than a log, of course, they're going to be seeing how high they can throw a pole vaulter.
Okay.
That's it.
How would it work?
Well, you've got the tossing the caber, so they've got a big log. Instead of that, they're holding a person.
Yeah.
And they literally just throw them.
Would he have to stay rigid? And they'd hold him by the soles of his feet?
Yeah.
Because that's how you toss the caber.
Absolutely,
would they have
yes.
the pole in their hand? Or
if they want to, if that adds to the drama.
Okay,
why
and
not?
Would they have to get them over
have to get over the...
Boy,
the,
I like the idea
the
of it.
Oh, so it's height rather than distance.
Oh, yes, it's height. And I know that's not strictly within the tossing the caber rules, but... Just adds a little bit difference to it.
I liked it very much. I'm going to give you 8 goals for it. Lindsay Hipgrave, what hybrid are you? What mashup are you giving us?
I'm going to go for bobsled darts.
Just
because I reckon bobsled's got to be probably the easiest Olympic sport
out there.
You just kind of have to push the bobsled down the ice and then jump onto it. You don't really need much of a skill set, probably just some strong legs. I mean, the guy or girl at the front needs a bit of steering skills, but the person
keep
at the back
digging that hole.
Effectively
digging that hole, Lindsay.
Is just sitting in a tin can. So I think we need to challenge them a little bit more. And because darts is something that needs a lot of skill, a lot of practice, we should strategically place dart boards along the run down, and they get more points at the end depending on like how many treble 20s or bullies they get at the end.
I absolutely love it. I mean, the TalkSport bobsleigh fans are going to be furious. There's going to be a phone in later on. The bobsleigh, I think it's an absolute disgrace.
Be in trouble.
There we are. I'm going to give you 9 goals, Lindsay.
Ooh.
It was an excellent mashup. Bob Mills.
I've always liked the sport of netball. I don't like basketball. I do like netball because there seems to be more skill involved.
Mm.
But one of the things about netball is that it's a non-contact sport. I'd like to introduce netball wrestling,
which means that
you play netball according to the same rules, but there is a little time period where a whistle goes and you have 3 minutes in which you can wrestle.
Yeah.
So you can wrestle people, and if you get a submission or a knockout, two falls or a knockout, during those 3 minutes, then that means you've won the game without having to put the ball through the hoop.
Oh, so full knockouts. So more or less sort of a UFC rather than wrestling, like a full...
No, wrestling, 2 falls or a knockout. A KO, you get a KO in the...
By picking them up and slamming
them down. If they can't get up after being inside 10. Or you pin them for 3. It's 3-1, 2... I'd just like to see netball where someone was saying, ask him, ref, ask him.
It was kind of what it was like growing up playing netball in Gateshead anyway.
Kendo Nakazaki would really struggle with that mask on to play netball.
The words Kendo and Nakazaki just run around my head and take me back to a better time. When life was better.
Giant haystacks.
You could buy 10 cigarettes for a shilling. Not Giant Haystacks. He's the next lot. Brian Goldbelt Maxine and Crybaby Jim Breeks. Oh, yeah. Proper wrestlers.
Proper wrestlers.
No, he's
a bit further down the line.
When it was failing, they brought in Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks and they ruined it. But when they had Adrian Street from Ellesmere Port, who was the golden haired wrestler, who was a big campo wrestler, he was lovely, and Les Kellett. And
for Susie, she's so young that this is like us talking about some Charles Dickens characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mr. TV Jackie Pella. That sounds like a. Yes.
It's a great idea, Bob. I'm giving you 8 goals. Susie McCabe, your sport hybrid.
So. Here's my thing. I think what we should do is merge golf and ski to golf ski.
Okay, nice.
Right? Because if you own skis, you'll own golf clubs.
Okay.
And if you own golf clubs, you'll own skis.
Okay.
But to make it a bit more interesting, you go down, you're going through your gates, you don't have poles, you have a driver.
Oh,
and you just need to scalp the golf
the
balls,
through.
But you can also steal your opponents, get it through the gate, and if the ball goes through the gate, you then need to go through the gate to get the point for the ball.
Oh, I like it. You've really thought about
it. I know.
Would it be on grass or would it be on snow?
Snow.
All right, okay.
Full snow.
It's an orange
goggles,
ball.
Orange ball, orange club, full kit.
Okay.
Full skiing kit with...
You've got the correct size car, of course, because if you can get your golf clubs in the boot, you can get your skis in the boot.
Well, yeah. Because they all drive those cars.
I like the idea. I'm going to go for a slightly posher version of the sport than I was expecting from you, Susie.
It's polo for the middle class.
Oh, okay.
Because they can't afford a horse.
Polo without a horse.
Polo without a horse.
I like it even more now. I'm giving you 7 goals. There we are. Now, can we have our next questioner, please?
Hey, I'd like to ask the panel, what do they dislike about the team they support?
I'd like to ask the panel, what do they dislike about the team they support? Natalie Sawyer, the biggest Brentford fan in the UK. What do you hate about Brentford FC?
I found this really difficult. Oh. That's a very good question, may I say. Because obviously I do think Brentford are perfect. That's why I support them. But if I really have to be picky, then it'll be the pillars at Griffin Park.
Yeah.
Where I sit, I do have a pillar that obstructs my vision. Now, it's obviously not that bad because it's only like a second or two that you might miss, but still, it could be a second or two that's quite vital. So it's annoying and frustrating at times, but we've only got until May and it will be saying bye-bye to Griffin Park, so I can get used to it.
I was going to say that.
Now. Well, I am used to it.
I think you'll miss the pillars when they're gone because it connects you to your history with Brentford, the old
times.
You go, I missed the pillar. So it's quite a good answer. I'm going to give you 5 goals, Natalie, because you've not said Brentford very much in this episode. Lindsay Hipgrave, what do you hate about Newcastle United?
Well, apart from the obvious,
yeah.
I hate the fact that I now live about 350 miles away from St James's Park. Makes me sad. I can't go very often. And I don't like at the moment that we don't have a Tynemouir derby at the moment because I used to really look forward to them. But that's Sunderland's fault for being in the third division.
Yeah, well, you're blaming Sunderland for
I'll
that.
I'll call it League One for everyone else, but for them, it's the third division.
So the things you don't like about it are Sunderland can't play them anymore and the fact that you live 350 miles from them.
Exactly.
These are all things that you could change, Lindsay.
Apart from the owner.
And apart from the owner. You can't change that, unfortunately. No. So I didn't like the answer. I'm going to give you 2 goals, Lindsay. It's very sad. You don't seem that bothered. OK. Bob Mills, Leighton Orient. Surely there's nothing you don't like about them.
No, there's very little I don't love about their club, but I'll come slightly to Natalie's thing. We have a wonderful stadium and there is no problem with pillars. There's no problem with pillars. What we also have is we have flats in the four corners of the ground.
Yes.
Because, you know, in traditional football stadia, there is these four corners and we paid a lot of our debt off and it was
very,
a
very good idea.
Now, the problem is with this is that sometimes when I'm sitting... The football I love, but it isn't always of the highest standard. And occasionally, if I just happen to turn around, I can watch television in the guy's flat. And I have had Saturdays where I've been watching football, but then there's a film on that I recognise. I did, unfortunately, I did once when we were playing Rotherham. They were just starting the hunt for Red October on Channel 4, and I'm afraid I missed a goal. Of course, sometimes they forget where they live in and they come out of their bedroom, draw their curtains and go, sorry. Didn't realise you were playing today, guys.
I can't believe you'd buy that flat and not like Leighton Orient and you'd sit there.
Very often.
I'm not going to watch it. Absolutely not.
Well, of course, lesser comedians and who support lower league clubs, and I'm talking about Terry Alden, people like that, will tell you that those flats are on sale with the website. And if you get one of the flats that looks out to, towards the road surrounding it, you can get those for £300,000. The ones overlooking the pitch cost £140,000. That's, you know.
Yeah, but you wouldn't go down that
route. No, would that you? Would, that's a ridiculous thing.
I love the answer. I'm going to give you 10 gold, Bob. It was an excellent. Susie McCabe.
This is a very personal thing, right? I am a round little lady, and we have got one of the most iconic strips in world football. But when you're my shape and size, those hoops are not becoming.
I'm feeling your pain.
Yeah, so I'm very much an away top girl. In the event that a child might think I'm a Lilo. So, yeah, I would never want to change the hoops. And I don't know if I've ever been sponsored by Adidas. I love that kind of kit. And I don't know if that's going to go with hoops. I'm torn. So I'm like, I love the hoops. It's everything about Celtic that I love, but for me, as a little round 50 pence piece, it's not.
The day that Talk United went away from the hoops was a great day in my house.
I mean, I could diet. Right?
No. Don't fight the slim fit. Don't fight the slim fit, whatever you want. It was a great answer. I'm going to give you 9 goals, Susie, which means at the end of that round, the scores are Celtic 54 goals and Newcastle 49. Next up, our two team captains will attempt to lead from the front in Captain's Corner before both teams go all out for glory in the round we call Injury Time here on Glory Hunters on TalkSport.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Rate, review, subscribe.
This is Glory Hunters on TalkSport, where today Newcastle in the form of Lindsay Hipgrave and Bob Mills have 49 goals and Celtic, represented by Susie McCabe and Natalie Sawyer, have 54. Time now, however, for our two team captains to earn their corn as they argue either for or against a motion I propose. It's a bit like an Oxford Union debate if the university had basically given up on its admissions policy. The motion up for debate today is... This house believes winning the World Cup in 1966 has held English football back. Arguing for that motion is Bob Mills. Arguing against is Natalie Sawyer. You each have 30 seconds. Bob Mills, the floor is yours.
I believe this to be true because what it did was it gave us an idea that we were a top international force. We won it at home, which a lot of countries have done. We'd only been in it for about three, I think it was our third World Cup, so we never took it seriously. It was never, ever held in the esteem that the home championships were, which is much more important. We aren't a country that supports a national team. We're a country that supports club sides and then has an interest in the international team. But since we won the World Cup, we've always thought we should have a place at the top table of world football. And we've done everything we can to strive to get that. We get overexcited. Whereas the truth of the matter is, 99% of football supporters in this country support the team and show an interest, as opposed to Italy and Spain, where they're fanatic about their countries. We don't have that sense. And so it's given us a wrong idea of where we should sit in the world of international football.
There we are. And then, so Natalie Sawyer.
Well, I mean, I hear what my esteemed fellow has had to say, but only 8 teams have won the World Cup, so we are in a unique group. It's no easy feat to win it, obviously. Look at how many nations have tried and failed. Forgetting those that have won, 71 other teams have tried to win the World Cup and have come away empty-handed. So we can count ourselves very lucky to be one of the very, very few, an elite few, who have won the World Cup. We shouldn't look at it as a negative that we haven't won it again. We should be proud of the accomplishment. And if we never win it again, well, at least we will always have 1966, unlike so many who will never, ever get near the World Cup trophy.
I agree with both sides of it.
Well, I'm
sick of hearing about 1966.
You're sick of hearing it.
But surely what Natalie did, if I may just interject, was back up my argument, because we've always got 66. And if we didn't have 66, we wouldn't get so infatuated with winning World Cups. We'd just go and enjoy them without thinking we're going to win them.
But if I was born in 1966 and it happened in my lifetime, I'd probably bang on about it and not be sick of hearing it. So I think it's to do with how you felt at the time. And if it's not just hearsay, if you're not just told about something, then you can enjoy it even more.
Well, I did see it at the time. I was around at the time and I saw it. And what I felt was, this is brilliant. This is something that we can do, win World Cups. Mm. And in fact, it isn't something we could do, so it's better that we'd never done it.
There we are. I'm going to give Bob the points, I'm afraid, Natalie, because he's argued for your point, for my point,
that's
for his own
enough.
Point.
He's
Susie made a point,
it.
He backed that up. So, Bob, I'm going to give you 5 goals. Congratulations. So, as if by magic, with those 5 goals, the scores are now Celtic 54, Newcastle 54. It's like we make it up. It's unbelievable. Now, before we go into injury time, Susie, you were saying earlier on, you've been a comic for 8 years. So what were you doing before? What other jobs have you had?
I was an electrical estimator, but that job came about because I was an electrician.
Fully trained?
Fully trained.
What does an estimator do?
So I would...
I think that's a... I reckon that's a free amp plug.
Yeah, it might be.
I'm not sure. Just estimating.
Because I would have thought in the world of electricity, you don't want people estimating.
No. You would just tender to the builders for projects. So like your schools and colleges or your prisons or TV studios, you get the architects drawings through with all the consultants... light fittings and stuff on it, and you count and measure and work out how the power and
my favourite bit of Grand Designs. You watch, I don't know if you watch Grand Designs, is when he comes back to the house at the point that they're about to do what they call it, the first fix or something.
First fix, yes. So it's a wind and water type.
And you look behind the walls of houses and think,
yeah,
nah, that's never going to work.
It's like a cake before it's ice.
Yes, and you just see miles and miles of this cable and stuff. I must,
So were you pushed to have a trade? Is that how that worked itself out?
No. I worked in a pub, late 90s, early noughties, and then I went and got a trade and just became a sparky. And then from that, I knew I always wanted to kind of get off the tools and do more of the technical side, so I became an estimator.
There was a wonderful time, there were no wonderful times after the banking collapse. It was a period of great austerity. But one thing that happened is all the guys from the city, the hedge fund managers, they were saying, well, this is obviously not working. This is it's going to take 100 years to rebuild it. So we're going to get a trade. And there was this wonderful thing to, that's what you should have done. You should have learned to lay bricks. You should have learned to wire houses. But they all became, you're going to become part carpenters. Well, when we say carpenters, Andy Lindsay does a furniture design. and they all then became even more useless to society by designing tables made of trees that no one could afford.
Odd, isn't it?
Yes.
So we've got a chair. We've all sat on a chair.
Yes.
We know what that looks like. Yeah. I could design a chair. There you go. There we are. There we are. 4 legs.
It basically works. Yeah. Okay.
Have you got a trade, Bob?
No, I'm the one person in my family that didn't have a trade, which is why I wound up being a comedian. All comedians will tell you don't choose to become. You've just run out of options and you become one. My brother was a plumber. My father's an academic. My sister was a seamstress. Where I grew up in the 1960s, everyone, unless you were clever enough to go off and be given a chance at university or college or something, you got a trade.
Yeah, well, you should do. My mum was a hairdresser. My dad was a mechanic. Could always get a job. Lindsay, have you ever had another job?
I've had other jobs. Yeah. I haven't had a trade. I used to deliver the Herald and Pulse. That was my first job.
That was the paper round.
That was the free paper. It was lots of papers that had to be delivered to every single house. And then I worked in a shop which sold underwear when I was at school. And then I had a bar job when I was at university.
I worked
in an Irish bar, which was good fun because there was live music on all the time.
Bar
so I loved that job.
If you had to have a trade, what would you go for now, Lindsay?
I don't know. I'd like to be a makeup artist, maybe. Yeah. I quite enjoy the travelling that
quite fancy being a barber.
That.
Natalie, if you had to get when it all goes wrong in a couple of weeks' time, what are you going to go out and do? Get a trade, Natalie, for goodness sake.
That's what I like to hear, that positivity from you. Gosh, I don't know. I worked in a pub, but I worked there for 3 days and it wasn't for me.
No.
We came to a mutual agreement. It wasn't for me working in a pub.
Now, in the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Remember, you're up against the clock, so speed is of the essence. It's 54 all. Can you believe it? The losing side goes first. We can't do that. It's 54 all. Bob and Lindsay, you are going to go first. So this is your round. I'm going to list a number of sports people and their nicknames. I need you to tell me which are true, which are false. Sports people and their nicknames, which are true or false. Do you understand the question?
Yeah. Yes.
Your time starts now. Harry Maguire, slabhead.
True.
True. Ken Doherty, no can do.
True.
It's false. Fitz Hall, one size.
True.
True. Jurgen Klopp, smiley miley.
False.
It's false. Boris Becker, Boris the Spider.
True.
It's false. Stuart Barlow, Jigsaw.
True.
It's true. Former Everton striker, and he went to pieces in the box. Alexis Sanchez, the squirrel.
False.
It's true. He likes, as a boy, he liked climbing trees. Duncan Goodhue, Duncan the Dolphin.
True.
It's false. Chris Smalling, Mike.
True.
It is true. LVG kept calling him Mike. Graham Dott, Dot on the Landscape.
False.
It is false. Gordon Jury, Jukebox.
True.
It is true. Lionel Messi, The Flea.
True.
It is true. Michael Holding, Whispering Death.
True.
It is true. Tim Henman, Tim the Terminator.
False.
False.
It's false. Gerd Müller, The Bomber.
That's true.
It is true. Ian Botham, Falafel.
False.
It is false. And you scored 12 goals, which takes you to 66. Oh, we'd have to be at 66 again. Goodness sake, banging on about 66. We're going to go for a 67 for the Lisbon Lions, Natalie and Susie. All I need you to do is tell me which of the following sports will be included at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics by answering true or false. Do you understand the question?
Yes, we do.
Your time starts now. Dodgeball.
True.
False. Softball.
True.
True. Snooker.
True.
False. Handball.
True.
It is true. Mixed martial arts.
True.
It's false. Surfing.
True.
It is true. Squash.
True.
It's false. Sport climbing.
True.
It is true. Mario Kart.
True.
It is false. Skateboarding.
True.
It's true. Ultimate Frisbee.
True.
It's false. Lacrosse.
True.
False. Rugby sevens.
True.
It's true. Cricket.
True.
It's false. Water skiing.
True.
It's false. And that's the end of that round. It's an interesting technique.
Oh.
I thought it's best to leave Susie to it.
Just go for it.
So at the end of that round, you scored six goals, which takes you to 60, which means the final score is Newcastle 66, Celtic 60. There we are.
66 wins it, boys.
There you go.
Standard.
Coming from behind.
But listen, from the, you should learn something every week. And what we've learned here, if you're ever on this show in the future, if you're five behind, just go true.
Just go true. True all the way. So true. That's how Spandau Ballet always answer their quizzes. Okay, Susie, could I ask you, please, for a bland and empty post-match reaction?
There's no words. Do you know what? We had it all going on, and then we just lost it in the last 10 minutes. We collapsed. It was like Celtic away in Europe.
So to our winners, we say... And for the losers...
They might be lucky enough to have a run in a cup, but as far as league's concerned, they haven't got a prayer.
There we are. My thanks to Natalie, Bob, Susie and Lindsay. Join us again at 9:30 next Sunday on TalkSport. And be sure to download the Glory Hunters podcast, available from your favourite podcast provider. It features extra material purely for podcast listeners. So until next time, from myself, Charlie Baker and everyone here, it's goodbye. There we are. Well done. Well done, Lindsay.
Thrilled.
Victory in the end. Yeah, we had to come from behind, but, you know.
It's an interesting technique you had at the end there, Susie, of just true. Just constantly true.
Just long ball up the park.
just
long ball up the park, trying to ghost in.
Just started swinging it into the big man.
Wasn't your day. It's
Georgie Samaras was back.
Big Georgios. Well, big Jan Veniger of Hesseling.
Don't worry, Susie. We might have won, but if you close your eyes and your ears, you wouldn't tell the difference between the two teams.
Exactly, there we are. So that was it for this week's Glory Hunters. Thanks. Do download us, rate, subscribe, and tell all your friends, and we'll see you again next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.